Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This story of the Gerasene demoniac is one of those strange stories that seems to have been pulled out of context in many ways. After all, Jesus gets in a boat and he heads over to the region where the Gerasenes are, but there's no reason given why he's going over there. And as a matter of fact, he doesn't stay very long, does he? It's almost as if Jesus is going there to have an encounter. When he gets there, he finds this person who has been literally torn from the community. Say he has a demon. And the demon makes him do the most bizarre and strange things and gives him superhuman strength, tearing apart the chains when they bind him, and everyone is afraid of the young man. I don't know if you have been around folks who have been afflicted in this way, but I certainly have. And it is astonishing. When I worked in California as an emergency medical technician, one of the jobs that we were given was to do what's called a 5150. State Bill 5150 in the state of California allowed the police to detain someone for up to 72 hours if they thought they were a harm to themselves or to another person. And we would get called out and the police would be there, and usually on the sidewalk, it was almost always a young man or a middle-aged man, usually zip-tied behind his back, just out of control. It was the era when PCP was particularly popular among drug users. I remember picking up a young man who just spat and screamed and tore his way out of the plastic cuffs, they called them, the little plastic cuffs that we used to restrain people. It was amazing to watch how strong this young man had become as four police officers, hefty police officers, piled on top of him to control him. And he threw them off. It was amazing. In the time of Jesus, they would have said, he has a demon. And we had to place him in restraints. So restraints are 2-inch leather belts, hand and foot. And we place the person on a gurney and we strap them down so that they are completely immobile. But every part of this young man that could move, moved. And the anger was palpable in him. This is who Jesus meets that day. There is a demon in this man. And even when they kept him under guard, bound in shackles and chains, he would break the bonds and be driven out into the hills. So Jesus heals the man. It's an odd, strange kind of story. It's the only place in which Jesus doesn't just say, be gone, and the demons go away. Instead, he drives the demons into a swine herd. This unclean man by the rules of society, this outcast by the rules of his town, had his disease driven into the uncleanness of the swine. And he was made whole. What was the reaction of the crowd as they saw the young man sitting quietly by himself? It's your turn. They were just as afraid as they were before Jesus healed the young man. Where before they had been afraid of the young, crazed, demon-filled person, now their fear turns to Jesus. They are afraid. They are scared. If once they were scared of the power of the demons, they are certainly scared of the power of Jesus. And Jesus leaves. He just leaves. He takes his posse with him, and they get back in the boat, and they go back over to the other side. And you can see as Jesus is walking down the quay, the young man running after him and said, "Have you met these people? Can I go with you?" And Jesus says, "No. Go home. Go home and be restored to your family and to your community. Go out into the byways and highways and tell them everything God has done for you. Go home." In a way, it seems almost cruel. It seems cruel to send him back to the people who had been afraid of them. I mean, after all, if you've been in community for very long, you know people don't forgive quickly. And Lord knows, in a small community anywhere, people do not forget. In my imagination, I see him walking down the middle of the street and people whispering, "That's the guy. He's the one. Do you remember back when we had to put him in chains? It could happen again any second. The demon could come back. At least we got rid of Jesus." Well, what's interesting in the story is that the man does not ask to stay, but he also never asked to be healed. Jesus visits on him grace and healing and restoration to community, whatever that might look like, completely unbidden. Grace comes. This young man that we picked up that night in California, a paramedic unit came along with us, and one of the paramedics got into the back of my ambulance, and the young man was continuing to struggle, and it was getting elevated more and more angry, and they called into the hospital, and they okayed us to inject him with Narcan. Narcan is a drug that counteracts opioids. It's almost instantaneous. And the young man, we just hit him with Narcan. And he suddenly, and then he woke up. And he was angry. He probably paid $100 for that hit. A $17.50 shot of Narcan, done. He was not looking to be healed. He was not looking for care. He was not looking for anyone to help him, but it came anyway. In a way, that's how God is with us. That without our asking and without our pleading and even without sometimes our knowledge, God comes deeper into our lives, calling us back into community, sending us home. Paul talks about it like putting on a garment. That God's people, all of God's people, all of God's creation is being called to put on Christ. This invisible garment that calls us home and tells us who we are. even in the midst of the madness of the world. In the midst of violence and pain and threat, God calls us home. Sometimes, frankly, kicking and screaming. And sometimes sending us back into communities where we're not really sure we're terribly welcome. I think of the gay community in Orlando who needs to continue to be where they are despite the killings that happened last week at 2 o'clock in the morning a week ago. That community continues to be called home. And I pray to be clothed in the clothes of Christ. No one is left out. No one is excluded. All are seen and loved. Even when we don't deserve it or ask for it or even want it, God's unlooked for care comes our way. The Gerasene demoniac, we never have any idea what happens to him. We could write whole fantasy novels about how eventually people began to be convinced that somehow he was going to be okay and that he was all right, and later on they elected him to the church council and he became mayor. But it's equally possible that suspicions endured, fear was kept alive. But he was home. And so God calls each of us to be at home in the clothes that Christ has given us to put on. The clothes of justice, the clothes of love, and the clothes of peace. And whatever madness or whatever violence or whatever strangeness comes our way as a community and as God's people, God continues to cross across the river to bring us healing and hope. Not because we ask, or not certainly because we deserve it, but because God calls us to be home in Christ and to make a home for those around us. Well, I don't know what happened to that young man. I'm fairly confident, you know, after you pick up about 100 people like this, I would bet many, many dollars that I probably picked him up again sometime later. We certainly had a lot of folks that never changed their life. But it is my prayer that somewhere, somehow, he found a home. A place where he too could be loved and cared for. The very home that each of us seeks in this place and in the world. Amen.